From the land to Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 20th day of June 2016. It's the summer solstice. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll take up the cash grain segment with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County and, of course, look at the agricultural weather forecast. The guys up at Wrist Pulse in Chicago will help us do that. Along the way today, we'll talk about the agricultural news for the afternoon, and we'll take up Daryl Good's latest pennings from the Farm Doc Daily website today, acreage, soybeans, and the weather markets. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago for a Monday afternoon, July corn down 16.5 cents, 421.25 the trade. December at 433.75 finished 15 lower. The March down 13. July down 10.25 cents. July soybeans 16 cents lower at 1143.5. November the new crop at 1132.75 down 15.5. January down 15.25. Next year's March contract, rather July contract, down a nickel at 1082.75. Bean oil off 29 cents. Bean meal down $4.70. July wheat down 8.25 cents at 473. For the soft red, the hard red down 9.5 at 451.25. Live cattle futures finished at 114.52.5 in the June, down $2.20. Feeders are 75 cents lower at 136.67.5, and lean hogs are 25 cents lower in the August at $88.92.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Futures were sharply lower, especially in the corn for the day. Is this all part of the weather forecast for rainfall, maybe possibly tonight, certainly on Tuesday evening and into Wednesday?
Well, we believe so. We're in that type of window here where weather's critical. It's one of those days where, where's Paul Cooley's private meteorologist at? it's in the hands of the weatherman, and they added some moisture to the forecast. There's been a great debate between the European and the American. The Europeans been on the dry side. The Americans, even the Canadians, have been promoting a little bit of moisture. You know, everybody's got kind of a little different twist to it, and also we're seeing some meteorologists kind of say it's overstated or you know, putting their own twist to it. But there's a 30-40% chance here in the next day or two, 80% chance Wednesday midweek. Then when you look on out, there's small chances on small coverages. As we move into July, so most producers would agree that hopefully that small chance or that stray shower you mentioned will be over our farm, because there's some areas going to need some moisture here after this last few days of warmer weather. This afternoon's crop conditions report expected to show anywhere from 1-4% deterioration as a nation. Once again, we'll kind of monitor the regions where the deterioration is occurring. But portions of Missouri, Nebraska, and even some portions here, smaller areas here in the eastern Corn Belt, has been getting dinged fairly good here, you know, over the last few days, Todd.
I saw last night that some rain fell in the northwestern parts of the Corn Belt. Was that very helpful?
Oh, anytime you get some moisture this time of year, it's helpful. But there's areas in Minnesota that's been receiving too much moisture. And in fact, we've got just a handful of guys in that northwest that's kind of been wishing for less rain. So they just need to reallocate it and reposition it here for the southern eastern belt here, where it's a little bit more in need. But too much rain this time of year, you know, other than low areas, is kind of a tough one to really debate.
Next week, on the last day of the month, USDA will release its acreage figures and also its grain stocks numbers. What are you looking for?
Well, on the acreage report, most is looking at about a million more acres of beans. On the corn side, a little less corn, around this 93.6, maybe down to this 92.5 area. So a million more bean acres, a little less corn acres. Some are looking at 2 to 3 more million acres of beans. So when you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, you know, that could, an extra 2 million acres of beans, and they keep the current yield on it, could bump up that ending stocks quite a little bit. As far as the stocks, 4.5 on corn, bean stocks near about 845 million bushels. You know, those are ample supplies, but the stocks number, you know, is going to be a gauge on our usage. So both those reports are going to be fairly important indicators here, other than the weather here over the near term.
With the kind of volatility that we've had comes opportunity and some heartache as well. What are you telling producers they ought to do?
Well, from day one, clear back last winter, you know, we mentioned about the volatility, how it could increase and how to take advantage of it. And there's several things producers did and did not do in that case. But step one is to have sort of a scale-up selling approach, because whenever you get in a high volatile market, weather markets has a tendency to be straight up, straight down. So if you're strictly cash grain seller, you know, we've been having these scale up sell programs to take advantage of the ups and through here on conservative bushels. Then the other big thing we've done is we use price floors. You know, when the bean market started taking off particularly, there's a lot of debate whether to sell 9, 9.50 beans or not. Bought a lot of puts. Those puts are fairly well worthless. Some guys are kind of upset about those puts going worthless, but they've gained $2 to $2.50 in the cash market to the upside here. So there's some trade-off there, but there's a ton of strategies out there. Just remain flexible and be in a position to take advantage of these extreme moves.
It's still possible to get $4 corn. That's easy enough to pull off, I think, yet. Should producers take advantage of this still?
If they've not, sold a whole lot or started a selling program, we feel so. I think it's got to be a combination of locking a little bit of that in or putting a price floor in. So if the market does go higher, on this weather concern, you can still take advantage of it. But when you turn back the clock 2 months ago, the conversation was, boy, if corn ever gets to $4, that'd be a good point to get going on it.
Anything else that we need to talk about on the grain side before we hit the livestock?
We've got the July options expiring Friday. There could be some so-called fireworks as we go into that option expiration. Also, too, guys have done a lot of basis, grain basis contracts off the July futures, and we're rapidly approaching the end of the month on that. So we'll see how those two events unfold. But today is first day of summer. And oftentimes you get a change in season, you get a change in trend. So it's very important to keep an eye on them. Grain markets here over the next few days to see if we can hold these gains or not.
Live cattle, losers again today. They've had a tough couple of weeks.
Oh, boy, it's cattle market's been like the old pork belly contract, you know, straight up, straight down. The current concern today is these August, it's held this 111 level for last couple months. We closed below some previous lows in through here, so it's going to be very important to see the cattle complex take a stand. The board continues to run discount to where the cash is, so I would not be surprised to see the futures kind of take a stand at these levels here and see if the cash market remains firm. As far as the hog side, they continue to defy the law of gravity. The pork complex has enjoyed a good ride in through here, and we'd be cautious on the hog side of seeing some type of topping action here in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Kurt, thanks so much.
Very good. Take care, Todd.
You too, Kurt Kimmel, is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. You can find Kurt and all the rest of our analysts anytime you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org, willag.org. In today's agricultural news, voters in the United Kingdom will decide this week on Thursday whether to remain one of the 28 nations in the European Union. The contentious vote comes as the United States is negotiating the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, or TTIP, with the EU. Dr. Julian Benfield with the University of Missouri says Britain would be in need of trade agreement should it split from the Union.
If the UK left the EU, I think that would open up market opportunities for the US. They're likely to liberalize their trade. The UK is a net food importer, so I think that the US would be able to trade and export more to the UK there, and the UK would be more receptive to GMOs.
However, Benfield warns that without the UK, the European Union may become less receptive to some of the issues that the US wants to address in a proposed deal. Benfield is director of the International Programs at the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, or FAPRI, based at the University of Missouri. There are just 4 days left for Congress to beat the Vermont GMO labeling law. The Senate has just 4 working days on the calendar between now and July 1st. That's the date the Vermont GMO labeling law goes into effect to reach a compromise on a national GMO labeling law. Politico reports that makes Friday, June 24th, the last day to get legislation to President Barack Obama's desk to beat Vermont. The House will go on recess on the 24th and not be available to consider any bills passed by the Senate. Speaking of the Senate, a rider on the Senate Interior Appropriations Bill seeks to stop the Environmental Protection Agency, US EPA, from funding campaigns against agriculture. The rider, one of many on the bill, followed the EPA billboard funding controversy in Washington State. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Republican Pat Roberts applauded the Senate Appropriations Committee for advancing the bill last week. However, Democrats on the Appropriations Committee warned the bill would be a non-starter on the Senate floor. At issue was an advocacy campaign funded in part by $20.5 million in EPA grants. The campaign included billboards and a website attacking agriculture and urging Washington state lawmakers to increase regulation over the agricultural industry. Other riders on the spending bill include a block on EPA's Waters of the U.S. rule. Finally today, in that same appropriations area, private lender financing of United States agricultural sales to Cuba gained some ground in the Senate spending bill. The U.S. ban on private bank financing of agriculture sales to Cuba continues to prevent producers and exporters in the United States from being truly competitive in the nearby Cuban market. However, a successful amendment by Senate Appropriator Republican John Bozeman of Arkansas would change that.
This amendment would simply lift the ban on private banks and companies from offering credit for the export of agricultural commodities to Cuba. Additionally, this amendment includes a common sense shipping fix. Currently, any ships that travel to Cuba cannot return to the United States for 180 days without a license.
Bozeman says U.S. intentions with the embargo have been good, but have not worked in 50 years to change the ways of the Castro dictatorship. The Senate Appropriations Committee passed the amendments 22-8 and sent the financial services bill on to the full Senate. The administration loosened financial restrictions on sales to Cuba of some non-agricultural products earlier this year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between. Each and every business day posted not long after it airs on our radio stations, and in the case of Commodity Week, before it ever airs on a radio station. Willag.org, your source for agricultural markets and weather at willag.org. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, the price of soybeans rallied so much this season that one agricultural economist is doubtful there's much additional upside potential. New crop soybeans are worth about $2.50 more today than back in February, when farmers purchased crop insurance to cover the price risk inherent in farming. The rise has to do with the short crop from South America, above average temperatures in the United States, and only scattered rainfall in the midsection of the nation. Farmers can now sell beans for about $11 a bushel for fall delivery, and that doesn't seem too bad to University of Illinois agricultural economist Daryl Good.
While there is a potential for prices to move even higher with stressful summer weather, that potential may be less than the potential for corn, depending on the magnitude of planted acres, since soybean prices have already experienced a sharp rally, and soybean yields are generally less sensitive to summer weather than our corn yields.
The path soybeans have taken to these higher prices is pretty clear. The July contract at the CME Group in Chicago is up about 25% since April the 1st. The rally came as the market came to grips with a 200 million bushel reduction in the estimated size of the combined Argentine and Brazilian soybean crops and the resulting surge in export demand for U.S. soybeans. The next stop on this price train forward is the end-of-the-month reports from the United States Department of Agriculture. USDA will release the acreage and grain stocks reports June 30th. Daryl Good calculates the expected June 1 grain stocks for soybeans near 842 million bushels. He believes there is room for a surprise in the acreage report. USDA's survey of farmers in March put expectations at 82.236 million acres. This number could be higher for a couple of reasons.
The consensus seems to be that the June acreage report will reveal that acreage exceeded intentions due to some switching of intended corn acreage to soybeans as a result of the increase in soybean prices relative to corn prices since March and the delayed corn planting in parts of the eastern Corn Belt.
Soybean acreage may also exceed intentions, writes Daryl Good on the FarmDoc Daily website, as a result of total acreage of spring-planted crops exceeding intentions reported back in March. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain segment. Amy Sage is on the phone line. She's from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, a farmer's been taking advantage on whether it's new crop or old crop or corn or soybeans over the last 2 weeks of the prices, and to what extent?
You know, we actually did have a lot of activity maybe 2 weeks ago, but that last week we slowed down a little bit. We had a couple down days in the market, and I think people had gotten up to where they felt comfortable selling for the time being on the rally. So now that we've been looking at these extended forecasts with hotter than average temperatures, lower than normal precipitation, there's been a little bit more resistance to pull the trigger in both corn and beans at this point. We started to see a lot of beans being sold once we got above $9 and again above 10 and then again above 11. But after those levels kind of set in, we haven't seen a ton of selling since then. We have seen some old crop corn getting priced incrementally on this rally here. But any day that we've been lower, such as today, there's just not a lot of activity going on. And we had a couple days of that last week. So a lot of anticipation going into the June 30th report. I think we will see some type of activity pick up again next week, whether that be actual hedges or just getting some protection on upside if they already have a good portion hedge, or just some downside protection going into the report and then into pollination. So, but today we're in a little bit of a lull.
What's your internal conversations about the market like this week?
Really, we're a little bit concerned just with what these weather models are going to do here going into the report. It might provide a setback that, you know, could allow some opportunities to get some upside protection on for a little bit cheaper. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, having some protection on in some form, even if it's just short term, we've got some really important dates coming up. And from these starting points, it really is a function of what the weather does. And if we see rain across the Corn Belt at pollination, which is, you know, anybody's guess at this point, but trying to pay as close of attention to the experts as we can at this point.
Expected pollination, what, July 10 to 18 or thereabout?
Yeah, maybe on the earlier end in this area. It seems like it's been growing pretty fast, and we might see closer to the 10th into the 18th.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. What are your bids for the day?
Yep, cash corns at 411, fall corns at 409, cash soybeans 1120, fall beans 1103, and we've got 458 for wheat.
Thanks so much, Amy.
Thanks, Todd.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's the 20th day of June. It's the summer solstice. On the line with us to take up what's been happening in the weather forecast, Mark Russo of Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's the longest day of the year and the summer solstice.
How about that?
We're about to begin a hot, hot time, although we've had some really warm and even hot weather already. What are we looking forward to this week? And I think probably more important than the temps may be precipitation.
Yeah, well, first off, from a temperature perspective, not only this week, but even into next week, we are forecasting temperatures to be warmer than normal to various extents here. And part of that is with the ridge of high pressure that will continue to basically slosh back and forth between the central and the western U.S. over the next couple of weeks. Some of the hottest conditions will be a bit more in the southwestern Midwest in areas such as Missouri, southwest Illinois, and in Nebraska, where high temperatures will be the upper 90s and lower 100s on several days, especially coming up on Wednesday and on into Thursday. But even into next week, kind of maintaining that warmer bias, although readings will be a little bit slightly cooler, at least relative to this week. The other item of note is from a precipitation standpoint, and with the ridge of high pressure here kind of sloshing back and forth between the central and western U.S., there are going to be some thunderstorm complexes developing on the northern periphery of the ridge, and one of those complexes will be developing here coming up later on tomorrow night and into Wednesday. And that looks to be the main opportunity for the Corn Belt here coming up this week. There is some debate in commuter model guidance, and that debate was in place yesterday, continued here today. And the debate is between specific totals between the GFS suite of guidance and the European model suite of guidance. Our forecast continues to lean much more on the European guidance, which is the drier output compared to the GFS. So overall here, it looks like your main rains will be more scattered and in areas kind of within a zone of eastern Nebraska into then portions of northern Illinois, northern Indiana, southern Michigan. But it's not like it's all encompassing. But some areas will get good rains, but other areas within that zone will miss out.
And if you look forward, we don't have too much time. Next week, same sort of function happens again or not?
Well, yeah, and if anything here, just is still a reduction of any kind of significant storm systems to produce rain. So bottom line, it's a below normal rainfall pattern across the majority of the Corn Belt from now through the first few days of July.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
My pleasure, Todd.
That, of course, is Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.